You're on.
All right. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today for our regular scheduled bi-weekly or bi-monthly meeting, I guess it'll be. It is Wednesday, February 12th, approximately 10 a.m. The only comments I have is we'll present a word to Kara after my colleagues have their opening comments. So, Kara, get ready, you and Max. All right. Rancher, you have any comments today?
I had about an hour of opening comments, but I do not want to make them because I want to get on with the show. Now I'm all intrigued and anxious for the ceremony here.
I don't have any opening comments.
Okay, well, let's see. What's the best way to do this? I'll but I read it off, and then, Kara, if you can come up here, and we'll get a picture for everybody, all right? We had our annual employee recognition party, if you will, back in December, and Kara was busy having a baby at that time, so she couldn't make it. But in recognition of Kara's 3 years of dedicated service to the citizens of North Dakota, and as a state employee, thank you, Kara, and congratulations, signed by all three commissioners, and there's also a gift card that goes with it. And we also have, presented by the North Dakota Public Service Commission, to Max Desay, in recognition of your first Christmas with staff for the North Dakota Public Service Commission. So. All three of us drop down here and we'll get a photo.
He looks entirely underwhelmed.
It's like, don't I get a gift card too? Exactly.
But you'll notice that Max has on a tie today, too.
Oh, nice. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. All right, one more. Max, smile. There we go. One, two, three. Perfect.
All right, thank you, Kara, very much. You got everything?
Yep.
All right, perfect. Okay, here we go. Thank you, everyone, for indulging us. That's very important, and having Max around is kind of fun, actually.
Yes, it is. I think he's getting sick of us, though.
I think he is.
It does sort of remind one what we're working for.
Absolutely. Okay, I believe we have some items on consent. I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Daryl. Make sure I get my stuff together here. Okay, moving to the regular scheduled agenda, item BK1. Before I go through item BK1, actually, you're going to see item BK1, BK2, BK4, and BK5 are very similar. They're all dealing with consent orders on damage prevention. Staff has worked hard with individuals. We've got different companies that have filed complaints against different excavators, and thanks Julie Prescott and Aaron Mormon for their work on this. And so I'll go through all four of them individually. Each one's a little bit different, but there are some similar themes in all of them. So the first one, item BK1, I move the Commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's damage prevention enforcement action concerning Timber Ridge Plumbing and Heating, Inc., case number GS13-353.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. Timber Ridge Plumbing and Heating is a North Dakota corporation with its principal office in Bismarck. MDU is a North Dakota corporation with its principal office in Bismarck as well. In June of last year, the Commission received a third-party damage complaint from MDU alleging that Timber Ridge violated the North Dakota Century Code, part of the code dealing with one-call notification system. Basically, staff did their investigation and determined that an excavation certainly did take place and that the company doing the excavating had not did not have a ticket for call before you dig. And a little bit of background behind it, the staff concluded that a 2-inch gas main was damaged during the excavation, and the amount of the damages was approximately $1,400. The operator has been reimbursed for the damages, so the company has paid their damages to MDU. Based on the information that was provided, as well as the matrix that we've set up with our new range of fines between $0 and $25,000, and just reminding everyone, the goal here is never to fine people. The goal is to ensure compliance. But in this case, the amount is $1,000. There were 7 customers that were involved, and everything appears to be in order. This was the Timber Ridge Plumbing and Heating's first time they had violated North Dakota one-call law. So that was considered in the fine recommendations.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add to what Commissioner Kalk mentioned that based on my understanding on this, it looks to me like the ticket had expired. They had received they received a ticket and it expired, and they excavated anyway. So I think it underscores the importance of having a current ticket, and the company's just, you know, following the letter of the law very carefully when they're doing these this excavation, so we can avoid these kind of problems in the future and these fines.
Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the Commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Service Commission's damage prevention enforcement action concerning Rodenbaugh Trucking and Excavating, Inc., case number GS13-611.
Second.
In this particular case, Rodenbaugh Trucking and Excavating is a corporation that's principal office is in Idaho, and they are operating out of Surrey, North Dakota. MDU is a North Dakota corporation that filed the third-party damage complaint. The background on this, it was during the time frame of July of 2013. Rodenbacher Trucking personnel began an excavation in the Minot area. The excavation is certainly, it was an excavation as defined under North Dakota Century Code. And also in this case, they had a one-call ticket, but it had expired. And so this excavation was after the period where the locate was valid. Little background, that they struck a 2-inch gas main line causing $400 of damage. And I think that's where I appreciate the MDU bringing these forward, because, you know, when you have these companies hitting these gas lines, I mean, these turned out that no one was injured, no one was killed. That's great. But there's a lot of risk here that these excavators are taking with not calling before they dig or having the valid locate ticket. So it just reinforces the importance of this program and the understanding that these people have to follow the law. In this case, like I just said, no one was injured, no one was hurt. The damages were $400. And the fine that is recommended, which I agree with, is $1,000. I thought I'd turn my phone off. Everything appears to be in order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay. Item BK3, a little change in pace. I move the Commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the joint application of Montana Dakota Utility Company and Otter Tail Power Company for a waiver of procedure and time standards, a corridor certificate and route permit authorizing construction of a 345 kV transmission line and associated facilities in Dickey County, North Dakota, extending from a new Ellendale substation to the South Dakota border, case number PU13-840.
Second.
In October of last year, MDU filed a request for a certificate and route permit to construct approximately 11 miles of 345 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities from a new Ellendale 345 kV station to the South Dakota border in Dickey County, as shown in the attached map, which basically it runs, the substation would be just a little bit, a few miles west of Ellendale, and jog a little bit south, and then east, and then south into South Dakota. So we can have the map if anyone has a question, but it's relatively a short line. The public hearing is scheduled to begin April 1st, 2014 at 9:30 at the Fireside Restaurant, 415 First Avenue North, Ellendale, and we'll go through our traditional, typical siting criteria. I said this part of the line is short in the North Dakota portion of it, but it's the line that's very important to a much larger system. It's the Ellendale to Big Stone South line, that's one of the MISO multi-value projects. The commission issued a certificate of public convenience and necessity back in September of last year, so we've deemed that it's something that is needed. And the larger system, if you will, let's get some numbers on that. There will be 160 miles in South Dakota. The total cost estimated for the North Dakota portion, the substation will be in the range of 25 to 30 million. The transmission line of the approximately 10 miles, 9 to 11, the application says, is 15 to 20 million. The South Dakota portion of this line is in the range of $300 million. So while the North Dakota portion of this line is potentially small, it ties into a much larger system, which if this project is constructed, and make sure we do it, of course, in the right manner, this will really help free up the transmission congestion we have in the southeastern part of the state and really could open up the flow of energy even more so from North Dakota to larger markets. And in cases where the energy might flow back the other way, this could help us maybe bring North Dakota, bring energy into North Dakota, which could help some of our growing energy needs in the West if we continue to have transmission build-out, which could hopefully someday connect those systems. So everything is in order in this particular one. All this motion really does is set the date for the hearing, but I wanted to provide the background on this project.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? None. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK4. I move the Commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's Damage Prevention Enforcement Action concerning American Civil Constructors, Incorporated, case number PU13-862.
Second.
American Civil Constructors is a business operated out of Littleton, Colorado. They were doing work, I'll get to that, I guess. They also have an office in Bismarck. Vrendry Electric is the corporation that filed the third-party damage complaint. The PSC did the investigation, and what the staff determined was that the company, let me back up here, make sure I'm using the right terminology here, the American Civil Constructors was doing work in the Vrendry service area, and they basically hit an underground electric line. The cost of the damage was $6,700 approximately. 2,600 customers were out of electricity for an hour and a half. It was not done during time of emergency. Really, once again, we have a case in this one where they had no ticket in place. And so this case is a little bit different than the previous two, that we had the fine. The damage itself was, like I said, $6,700, and there was 2,600 customers were out of power for an hour and a half. In that case, this fine is recommended, and I agree with it, a fine of $2,000. So you can see this is a little bit different, and one of the things that I thought was important in raising the fine level to $2,000 vice $1,000 was the damages were a little bit more, well, quite a bit more than the previous cases, but the amount of customers that were out of service, I think, really is what makes this fine for $2,000 appropriate.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I also support increasing the fine in this matter. 2,600 customers with no ticket involved is just not acceptable. These companies just have to call ahead and do these jobs right. And so I think $2,000 is the minimum amount of fine I would support in a case like this.
Is there any further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. And before we get into item BK5, I just want to just reiterate that all of these are staff recommendations to the Commission, and I think they're appropriate recommendations. But, you know, the Commission certainly does have the ability, if we want to have our own hearings on these cases and go forward and do different things. And we may get to that in some of these cases, because in all four of these cases, the excavator has paid for the damages. And that's one thing that for me personally, that having the excavators pay for their damages, then we go ahead and assess what we think is an appropriate penalty. I think that seems like good common sense. But as we get deeper into this, I think we're already starting to see in some of the work that we're doing out there that we've got some of these companies that are unwilling to pay for the damages. So that's going to be the next step that I see that we're going to deal with in the Commission is when you've got companies that take responsibility after they've made the mistake, they pay for the damages, we can find a path forward that makes sense for everyone. But in those cases where they're unwilling, that's why I think the larger range of fines will come into play at some point in time, because they have the fine they pay for us, but they still have to pay for the damages. In this case, you know, the company that American Civil Constructors, they will pay. They've already agreed to pay the $2,000 fine, but they also have paid the $6,700 of damages. So that's critical for me to move forward on any of these at this point. So, item BK5. I move the Commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's Damage Prevention Enforcement Action concerning Kingdom Customs, LLC, case number GS13-693.
Second.
Kingdom Customs is a North Dakota limited liability company with its principal office in Minot, North Dakota. MDU is a corporation with its main offices in Bismarck, North Dakota. MDU filed a third-party damage complaint against Kingdom Customs, LLC. Staff initiated an investigation, and they concluded that on July 22nd, one day before the work was scheduled to begin, Kingdom personnel began an excavation. So basically, in this case, they started digging before the they requested the ticket with the date on it, but they started the work before that period began. So just all these things, the companies need to pay attention to the letter of the law. The damage was approximately $288. The operator has been reimbursed. One customer lost service for approximately 1 hour. The recommended fine in this case is $1,000, and I also agree with that. So no one, once again, was injured or hurt, but there was one customer this was also a gas. This was a gas line for 1 hour. So that's three different gas lines and one underground electricity line in the last four cases.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just wanted to take a minute to thank Brian for his work on this damage prevention issue. It's really important right now with the tens of thousands of underground miles of underground infrastructure that we have in the state. And really, there's three key pieces to safety. One is proper siting and construction, and we're working hard on that. The second is proper monitoring, and we're exploring ways to do that better. And damage prevention by PHMSA and everybody else who cares about these issues is the third key piece. And that means aggressive, public awareness about it and enforcement. And I'm hoping that with these consent orders, the word is going to get out to the excavating community that we're serious about this and that they need to call before you dig. There is no excuse for not calling and getting these locates. It's not only dangerous to the public, it's really dangerous to the employees who are doing the excavating. And it's only a matter of time, before one of these personnel hits a wire and is killed. So I applaud your work on getting these fines increased and for holding feet to the fire and getting this program moving so that now when we have the extensive build-out of underground infrastructure, we have this in place and can really hopefully do a good job working with industry to prevent these kinds of dangerous situations in the future.
Well, thanks, Julie. But we always talk about the goal is never to fine, it's compliance, and staff has done a great job. And quite honestly, industry's really helped out, and as the fines were increased and all the awareness, they do a good job in helping us share in this. It seems like the companies that we're end up finding are companies that are newer to the state or companies that are in the state that haven't really been operating at this level before. So we just got to keep in the fight every day.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. That concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the last item in my portfolio is RC1. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-49, canceling warehouse license number 1265, issued to Viterra USA LLC at Carrington, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Carrington under license number 1265 is discontinued, effective immediately.
Second.
Viterra USA LLC of Regina, Canada, filed a request to discontinue business for its licensed grain warehouse at Carrington. In 2010, Viterra purchased Dakota Growers Pasta. And in 2012, Dakota Growers Pasta deleted most of the licensed warehouse space from its grain warehouse license, and Viterra established this grain warehouse license to Carrington. Viterra purchased grain at Carrington from farmers, and Dakota Growers Pasta then purchased the grain from Viterra. In January of this year, just last month, the Carrington facility was sold to Post Holdings Incorporated. So Viterra will no longer purchase grain under its warehouse license at Carrington, and the entire Carrington facility will be licensed by Dakota Growers Pasta. So I recommend the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Anything else, Commissioner?
Concludes my portfolio.
All right. Commissioner Fedorjak, I don't see any motions in yours.
I have no items on the regular agenda today. All mine are informals this afternoon.
And they're big ones this afternoon, too, aren't they? Informals.
A couple.
Okay, perfect. Just kind of looking ahead to our schedule a little bit. We do have a special meeting already set up for this Friday the 14th at 5.05 p.m. Mid-Continent and Consolidated have an interconnection agreement that the period of requesting hearings expires at 5 o'clock, so they really want to move forward on this, and we've done this in the past. It certainly makes sense, so we'll have the special meeting. It'll just be at now we just have – well, we had one. I guess Mr. Leon has added a couple other items, so it'll be a short meeting, though. I'm not anticipating a very long one. Next week is a very busy week for the commission. We'll be in Grand Forks on Wednesday, February 19th, for our formal hearing dealing with the Enbridge Pipeline Sandpiper Line. The next day, February 20th, we'll be in Devil's Lake. And the following week, the 27th, we'll be in Minot for the third part of that hearing. So, and I think Commissioner Fedorjak and we're going to be in Minot on Friday talking with Souris River Telephone and the Minot Chamber about all things public service commissioners. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I don't have any other comments. Commissioner Christman?
No comments.
Commissioner Fedorjak?
Nope.
All right, we'd be happy to try to answer any questions there might be out there.
Yeah, BK1, where did this happen?
Okay, let's look here. Item BK1. Tie in a sewer line, 400 Old Red Trail in the city of Mandan.
400 Old Red Trail? And they were doing what to a sewer line?
Tying a septic system into a sewer line.
Okay.
And that's where they hit the 2-inch gas main was damaged.
Okay. What's a little puzzling is that you mentioned that, okay, they had a ticket, but it expired. Maybe I just don't understand how the process works, but it's not like they, you know, went and did they know the location of the gas line and then the ticket expired? See, what it makes it sound like to me is that, okay, they said they had you had a ticket, but it expired. And
sure, it's a good question.
I mean, do they like quick build a gas line and
one of the things that really changed out the last period was how long your locates are good for. The locates used to be good for 10 days the previous session, and now one of the things that changed now, locates are good for 21 days. So the company goes out there, MDU in this case, does a locate. That locate is good for 21 days. If the company who's requested a locate goes out the 22nd day, and they do their digging, and they hit something, they violated North Dakota One Call. What could have happened, and we didn't get to all this in the investigation, but the locates are good for 21 days. You put the flag out there day one, maybe day 20, the wind blows the flag, and the flag is gone. That's one of the things about how long the locates are good for. So something more than likely happened where the company went out and did a proper locate early, but since the person doing the excavating did it after the ticket expired, those flags may not have been in place.
Okay, so it may not have been obvious at the time that they did the digging where the line was. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
But that's why the discussion that we've had in the state and will continue to have about how long are those locates good for, whose responsibility is it to protect the locates. I mean, you can make locates good for 6 months, but there's no practical effect of that because those little flags aren't going to last that long.
Okay. And the fine is $1,000 here.
It is.
There were seven customers involved in terms of a denial of gas service for how long?
I don't know that we had the exact – oh, two hours, approximately 2 hours.
2 hours? So they seven customers didn't have gas for 2 hours because of this incident here.
And we should remember, too, this took place in the – look at the date here again – June of this summer. So these aren't – like they just happened last week. It takes a while to work through. So this was during the summer when probably they didn't need the gas for heating. Maybe if they had, you know, stoves or something like that, that might have been.
Is the company contesting this? Are all of these agreements to be penalized, basically?
These are agreements between the Public Service Commission staff and the person doing the excavating. If, in this case, let's say MDU doesn't agree with what we did, they have 30 days that they could then appeal this order, and then we would go from there. So when you do these consent, it's between the Public Service Commission staff and the company doing the excavating. We've not seen where people have contested this, but they certainly MDU.
So Timber Ridge has agreed to this, but MDU has not?
They are not party to the case. That's just the way the law sets up. It's between us and the person doing the excavating.
What I'm trying to get at is, does MDU have any standing to complain that the fine was too low or anything like that, or is this the end of it?
If MDU has, anyone has, 30 days from today to appeal this decision.
Okay. Anyone has the...
Sure, anyone has. Now, we would determine whether they have standing or not.
Okay.
What's that, Patrick? Aggrieved, yeah.
So if I'm one of those seven people that were affected and I think that these people are getting off light, I can complain about it?
You certainly have the right, and we would make a decision whether we would move forward on that.
Okay. But this is a 2-inch gas line, and it was being hooked in, or the company was tying a septic system into a sewer line, and they hit the gas line.
That is the way we understand it.
Okay. Now, on BK2, how much was the fine on BK2?
$1,000.
Okay. And where did this happen, please?
All right, let me look through here again. I'm sure we have it in here somewhere.
First pitch.
Correct. Number 5. Trucking pull, and okay, thank you, Julie. Excavation at 1702 22nd Avenue Southwest in the city of Minot.
Okay, and what was the, can you tell me about the background here? What were they doing? Why were they digging?
And one of the things that Pat and I just talked about this morning was making sure we had the same format in all of our orders so we can pull this information out easily. Patrick, do you remember the background on this particular case? The first thing we had it listed, a gas main. We're going to have to get back to you on the exact details of what the excavating was.
You know, Why were they digging?
That's the question.
It does not say in the consent order.
But this happened in the city of Minot. They were digging, and they hit a 2-inch gas main.
Correct.
And how many people were affected?
In this case, we don't have the number of people that were affected. And that's one of the things that we have to work on. We have one staff member doing one order of consent and one doing the other, so we want to make sure we have the information to pull out like we did in the first one for all these cases.
Okay.
But in the background of the complaint that was filed, that's where we would have that information.
Okay.
We just have to make sure that we put it in the orders.
Was on BK1, was anyone injured?
No, none of these cases.
Okay.
Was anyone injured? Or
was there a fire or anything of that nature?
Not to my knowledge, no. Any of these were all. And that's where, Dale, quite honestly, if someone was injured, that would, to me, be a whole different matrix.
Okay, on BK4, you mentioned there's 2,600 people out for 90 minutes on electric service. Where was this? Where were these people living?
Well, let's have a look here again.
I understand they're Verendry customers, but where were they? Where are they?
You know, I don't think it's in the consent order.
It's not. Southeast Minot substation. So anyone in Verendry service area that was served by the Southeast sub. But as the process improves.
Were they in Ward County or what?
They would have been in, I would assume, Ward County. I think Ward County runs that whole region.
Okay.
And they were out for an hour and a half.
And what were American Civil Constructors doing? Why were they digging?
We don't have that information in the order, Dale. We do? Footings. There we go. There we go. Good catch, Randy. Where did you see that, Randy? Randy, you found it.
The last page before the signature page. Page 3, I guess it is.
What number? I don't see it either.
Go ahead and read it out there, Randy.
It says Kingdom personnel began an excavation in the area described for locate and the ticket number to install footings for 23 house decks along 8th Street Northeast and Mulberry Loop in the city of Minot in Ward County.
Okay, Mulberry Loop, the city of Minot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on number 5. That's why I'm off.
Okay. So that is not correct.
Disregard that.
Very well.
All right, Julie's got it. They're working by constructing the new country club in Minot. Okay. Well, that's just for all of us as we refine our order format to make sure we put all that.
And they were doing what to build a new country club in Minot? Were they building a building or one of the holes in the golf course? What?
You know, Dale, we'll have to look at the actual complaint. But I'll go back to what our jurisdiction is, that while this is all good information and we will be committed to putting it in the order so we have it because it is important for people to know, we look back as, was there an excavation? Was there a ticket on it? And why they're digging is nice to know, but the fact that they're digging outside of what the parameters are, that to me is the portion that's most important to us. But we will be committed to getting more information because it is very relevant for the larger audience.
As far as BK5,
and BK4 was the $2,000 fine. That's the difference.
Correct.
That
one. Yes. And BK5. Now this was also a gas case. And why was Kingdom Customs LLC digging?
That was the answer that we just got before. They were working. Here it is. Kingdom was doing work in the area described for locate, which was
install footings.
Yeah, install footings. I'm looking to locate. Install footings for a 23-foot house deck along 8th Street Northeast, Mulberry Loop in the city of Minot, Ward County.
Okay, a 23-foot house deck, Mulberry Loop.
23 house decks along 8th Street.
23 house decks along 8th Street. Okay, in Mulberry Loop.
In Ward County.
City of Minot.
$288, one residential customer lost service for approximately 1 hour.
Okay.
And this
it's installing footings for 23 house decks on Mulberry Loop in Minot. Okay. Do you know where in Minot that is? Like a south, north?
No idea.
I don't think I can guess by the address, 8th Street Northeast, the northeast part of town, but that's strictly a guess.
All right. And their fine is $1,000, and they were out of service for about an hour?
Correct.
Okay.
And once again, no injuries reported.
I was interested in what Commissioner Fedorchuk said about BK4, said that $2,000 was the least he'd accept. Were you thinking about a higher number?
I think since this is their first violation, you know, there's always you got to weigh, you know, the fact that it was their first violation. I'm trying to decide, is this the one where they had the ticket and it expired? I don't know that they had a ticket at all. I would have entertained a higher fine, but since it's, you know, they agreed to do it, they've already paid the damages, and they are on the hook for another $2,000. I think that hopefully they've learned their lesson. But 2,600 customers with no ticket, that's a significant violation.
What do you think that these fines are going to do in terms of getting folks to use the one call system?
Well, I would hope that it would get them to call before they dig.
I hope Dale becomes a substantial deterrent from these companies to not cut corners. And one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, if you see a company again in front of us the second, third, fourth time, I think the fines will naturally increase. But we have had discussion in some of the pipeline meetings I've been that, you know, to the point there could be no amount of monetary fine that stymie some of these people. Some states go after their license. And so that's a discussion that we're just in the early stages of. But at the end of the day, the goal here is, like as Julie laid out, this is one of the big pillars of a whole pipeline safety program, as well as this is telephone, underground, and telephones, electricity. But the goal here is to deter people from not doing things.
Why is it, do you think, that folks do not call in? Because, it, you know, frankly, if you're digging and you hit a gas line, that's a fairly dangerous thing.
Well, my discussion when we go to the Common Ground Alliance meeting, the folks that do this for a living, is, you know, the companies that have been around for a while that understand the risk, they do it the right way. You get people that are in a hurry. They aren't able to predict exactly what they're going to be doing. They try to cut some corners, and that's why the changing of the law from a 10-day period locates are good to 21. That was one of the things we heard back from folks. It's 10 days is just not long enough for a locate because we're not exactly sure how the construction might ebb and flow, so that was where the change to accommodate that was 21 days. But to the why, I mean, we did have someone killed here a few years ago up in the Tioga area. They put a backhoe through that gas line, which was kind of like the signature event that really got people focused on how dangerous this is.
And Dale, could I go back to your question about what these fines will do to help
Sure.
alleviate future situations? I think one of the big lessons to be learned in these cases and you getting the word out to contractors all over is going to really help in this, is that now that we've extended this time period to 21 days, you know, if that's a locate that's out in a road ditch or something where, you know, perhaps a farmer might come along and mow the ditches in 3 weeks, you know, you get your ticket, and even though you might not be out actually doing the work for 2 or 3 weeks, it'd be wise in those first few days to just go and take a look at it and see if there was something marked, so that if then your crew gets there 3 weeks later and there's nothing marked anymore, you can conclude, you know, I know there was something there. We better hold up and do this over again.
Mm-hmm.
An early look at that site would be very wise.
And if I recall correctly, the maximum fine is $25,000 now?
It is.
Okay.
The other piece on the why this happens, I think training is a huge part of it, and some of the companies really need to commit to training their personnel on not only to watch for the locates, but how to do proper digging, because we've seen many cases where the locates were there, but they didn't perform the excavation in the proper way, and so there was damage that resulted. So I think the companies have to be committed in twofold: one, to call before they dig, and two, to train their personnel how to do it right.
The on all of these cases, has the utility been reimbursed for its repairs?
They have. That's one of the criteria that, for me personally, that I would not advance a consented item like this unless the companies had paid for the damages. And so that's what I kind of set the stage a little bit, that we've got several, at least two that I'm working with staff on, where the companies or people have done the excavating have not paid the damages, and some of these are getting a little bit aged, so we're going to have to make a decision if we just want to go ahead and hold the hearing. It's always better to work with the groups on this, but that could become an issue.
I was thinking, what happens when you get a damage claim from someone whose power has been out or whose gas service has been interrupted? Because I was thinking, if you mentioned that there were 2,600 folks out for 90 minutes at the Verendry case, and what if maybe one of them had a freezer full of meat, it was spoiled, what is their recourse?
I would think, and I'm not an attorney, but back on the lessons learned in the Tioga incident where the individual was killed, the commission makes its determination based on the law, call before you dig, and then it's up to that individual person's family to go after them through some type of civil matter. Ryan's over there nodding his head, but then they would use the fact that the PSC had found them in violation of North Dakota Century Code, call before you dig, to set the stage in their civil case. Does that sound reasonable, Ryan?
Is there also a way that the companies include that in their damages? I thought that was included.
Go ahead and share that with me. Are you trying to read it? Pat's got some additional information for us.
Outstanding.
The one call law has a definition of damage. When the one call law requires that the excavator pay the damage, so they define damage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's defined as substantial weakening of structural or lateral support of any underground facility, penetration, impairment, or destruction of any underground protective coating, housing, or other protective device, or impact with or the partial or complete severance of an underground facility to the extent that the facility operator determines that repairs are required.
Okay, so that doesn't include, obviously, somebody who's damaged by losing power because somebody screwed up.
It does not include a claim by a customer.
Okay. Okay. What's the site? What's the century code citation for that? Do you know?
It's 49-23-01, mm-hmm. paragraph 4.
Okay.
If they want.
The is this something that the commission might pursue, is to have to expand the definition of damages to allow folks who are damaged? I mean, as I understand what you said, okay, if I lose something because somebody does an illegal dig and cuts off my power and I'm damaged as a result, what I have to do is go hire a lawyer and sue these people so that I can recover my damages. Is there any, first of all, is that correct? And secondly, is there any consideration given to including that in the definition of damages? So the people don't have to go and, you know, go through a bunch of rigmarole to recover their damages when somebody obviously screwed up.
I guess I wouldn't be prepared to say that I think that's a good idea or a bad idea right now. I think that the system, I go back to the most severe incident you could have where someone is killed. And I think that's the case where clearly you'd want someone to go outside counsel and they work through their own system on that. I wouldn't be against looking at it, but I think for right now the goal here is to make sure the companies fully identify the damages to everything when they file with us. And then if someone here doesn't like what we've done, an individual citizen, they go back to their 30 days, they could come back in front of us right now and say, hey, listen, we think that our freezer full of deer sausage was compromised, that they should pay for it. And that would be a separate hearing that we could deal with, I guess. But
yeah, but according to the law, you don't have any really jurisdiction there, do you?
I don't like speculating, Dale. I think it's something that
okay.
got enough on our plate right now.
Speaking of pipelines and explosions, have you gotten any information on the Tioga natural gas line?
I have the thanks to Pat and Julie and Aaron and the crew yesterday. Basically, we were able to determine the. Let me look at my cheat sheet here. Of course, it's a Highland operating system. We turned that out. The company put out a pretty small press release, and when we first got that, we were unsure whether this was a gathering line, an intrastate line, and the commission has cited lines up here, so we were very concerned right away figuring out what's going on. But as we kind of had our inspectors make a few phone calls, talked with individuals at the company, it was compliant. The incident was completely contained inside their system, if you will, inside their wired area, their fenced-in area. It was a gathering line system. Once the line ruptured, if you will, the automatic shutoffs worked the way they were supposed to. No one was killed. No one was hospitalized. So it was not our jurisdiction, if you will, since it was inside the fence on a gathering line. But I thought it was important that we followed through and got as much information as we could on it. And, you know, you don't want these things to happen, but I would everything worked the way it was supposed to. The shutoff valves worked the way they were supposed to. The company notified us when we had questions about it. We got the information we were looking for. We had several media inquiries yesterday that we were able to explain the situation the best that we knew it. So I think that, you know, all things considered, it turned out to be as good as could be hoped for.
Do you know where this happened in terms of the relationship to the city of Tioga?
Southwest of Tioga, 6 miles.
Okay. Did they give you any information as to what caused this?
The only thing that I've seen is the ruptured pipeline, not exactly sure why it ruptured. I know that the protocol in talking with our expert Pat Fawn on this is the company will certainly do an internal investigation, and we'd certainly like a copy of that. And there are other federal agencies that may be involved. OSHA may be involved and others, and it's just right now we just know that a pipeline ruptured.
And you don't have any jurisdiction over this line?
We do not, but in this case, the company was very forthcoming with information because they know we're vested in the natural gas, and you know there are intrastate lines that are pretty close to this. So it's certainly, we all think, need to be able to share the information so we can keep the public informed the best we can about what's going on. That's one of the lessons, I think, that the way this natural gas situation unfolded, while we never want things to happen, the way the information moved was the way it should move when there's something going on. The local responders knew it was going on. They had their reporting. We were able to fill in some gaps. The company has been very forthcoming with it. It's different than the Tioga leak where we had the pipeline incident. So that's one of the things that I think I'm committed to is continuing the discussion on should the commission have a role in interstate liquid programs, because even though we don't have jurisdiction on the way this turned out, the company had a relationship with us, and they want to work with us because they know they're going to be back here at some point in time. And we do have qualified inspectors that, had this been an intrastate pipeline, our inspectors were right there on scene, able to provide a localized, if you will. So I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned going forward in this, in both gas and liquids.
When you mentioned it was a gathering line, was it an above-ground line?
I don't want to say that for sure. Pat, do you know?
I saw the news clip. I saw, and the pictures that I saw on TV and the news reporting showed damage to an above-ground pipe.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was the source of the ignition, or it looked like it was.
It was a gathering line for what?
For natural gas.
Where was the gathering line taken in natural gas to? Do you know?
I can't say for sure, I guess. I don't know who their market participants are down the road, but one of the questions that I did ask the company right away was this going to affect any of their commitments, and they said no. So it should not affect the availability of gas in that region. Anything else, Mr. Wetzel?
Nope, that's it.
You don't want to talk Bison football?
Let's talk Bison ice hockey. What do you say about that?
The U.S. Olympic Canadian topic. And the girls play the Canadians today, so that'll be a good game. Okay, reconvene at 11 o'clock. I have no closing comments. Julie, anything?
Nope.
Anything?
Nope.
All right, we'll go ahead and we'll close the official portion of our meeting. Reconvene at 11 o'clock for the administrative portion of our meeting.